I've been thinking a lot lately about aging. I'm almost at the half-century mark myself, doing the requisite complaining about gray hair and the copious amount of money I spend to hide it, learning to accept my new progressive lenses. I'm especially aware of my parents' mortality. My father, at 82, has survived pancreatic cancer, kidney disease, diabetes, and some incredibly stupid decisions, like the time he left burning embers on our wooden front porch, or when he ate a plate of unidentified plants his 8-year-old daughter picked from the woods because he didn't want to hurt her feelings. It's kind of amazing he's made it this far. Still, 82 doesn't seem that old anymore. There are now more people living to 100 than ever before, twice as many as there were 20 years ago. So in my quest to cheat death for myself, my parents, and everyone I know and love, I decided to meet some of those centenarians and see if I could learn the secret to their longevity.
I'm an ordinary person, really. I was born in 1915, so I'm pretty old.
I was born July 6, 1913.
August 4th, 1911.
June 10, 1915. That's what they tell me. I don't know.
So what is it about 100 that feels like such a big deal? It's really just a large round number. But it's a good line in the sand, and people on the other side seem to have this magic life force. Of course, they don't see it that way.
I didn't have to do a damn thing except stay living.
That's Archie Markham. People in Northampton know her as an activist against war, nuclear weapons. She was the first centenarian I talked to, and she is spunky.
I won't bother you for too long, I promise.
Well, if you bother me for even a short time, I'll say, that's enough, I'm bothered.
I've interviewed a lot of people in my line of work, and I'm rarely nervous anymore. Politicians don't intimidate me. But these 100-year-plus women, and by the way, most centenarians are women, they can be a bit scary. They do not suffer fools.
Speak clearer. Your words all running together, and I don't know what it is.
My Lord, you're asking me some very difficult questions, God. Try to remember everything in your life. How can you do it?
That's Helen Bakkeel Kroc. When I met her, she was sitting in her brother's car in her niece Joanne's driveway, working on a word puzzle.
Hey, Helen. Oh, you ready to come out?
Well, it was nice and shady, and I thought I'd sit here for a while.
We coax her into the house, and when Joanne's husband helps her to sit, she gets hurt leaning back in the chair.
Ow!
Quick, I have my hand on the chair, that's all. I'm sorry. That was
sorry don't help. but I'm glad you said it.
Helen has earned her charming bluntness. She grew up on a farm in Northampton without running water. She carried buckets from the river. And without electricity. She spent her long working life in manufacturing. First rubber, then a brush factory.
We made combs and hair brushes, toothbrushes.
None of these women led lives of leisure. And you have to wonder if that's part of their power. Althea Cowles of Agawam spent decades winding coils at an electronics factory.
At that time, it was rip parts for radios, and TVs were just coming in.
Eva Blondin worked in textiles.
And my first job, I got $7.50 a week, and I thought I could get more money, so I went to McCallum's Hosiery, and I got $10.
Archie Markham was an air traffic controller during World War II.
Until some general, some burly, masculine, there were other names, but nice Jewish girls don't say it. Because what he did when he came on the field, he said, get those women out of there. You know, they're unreliable with their hormones or whatever.
These women clearly loved being productive. They miss working, and they miss the factory economy, especially in Northampton.
First it was one closing, then it was another one. It's really bad now. All there is in town mostly is eating places.
I thought these centenarians would give me a window into the last century. After all, they were born when people still got around in horse and buggies. And they've witnessed a lot. The Hindenburg, World War II, McCarthyism. But they weren't eager to rehash official history.
Do you remember when Kennedy was shot? Does that ring a bell?
Oh, that's horrible. Don't even bring that up.
Okay, all right.
Oh, that's awful. All right. I don't want to hear that kind of stuff.
The stories they wanted to tell were the more personal moments of pride or shame or relief or fear. For Arkie, it was the time during the Great Depression when the neighborhood grocer offered her mother some free food past its prime.
She was so humiliated and so upset that they sent this leftover stuff. What it did was just point out to my mother what a terrible position our family was in at the time.
The memory that Helen can't shake was the time her 5-year-old sister almost drowned when they were swimming in the Mill River.
All I could see was this much of her hands. I didn't know where she was. She's under the water. I grabbed her hand like that. Then I put her on her stomach, and I lifted her up, and she belched all that water up. Oh, boy, I don't know what would have happened to me if I lost her, because I was supposed to watch them, you know, and you can't watch all of them.
I should make clear the women I talked to did not have dementia. It was important they be able to consent fully to the interview. That's not to say their memories are perfect, but it's more of a fraying around the edges. Like when I ask Helen about her favorite presidents, her 87-year-old brother helps out.
You remember Roosevelt during the war?
Yeah, Roosevelt, yeah, I think I remember. Was there a Lincoln?
There was a Lincoln, but that would have been before your time.
See, I heard about that. Maybe that's why I remember.
And physically, they're all in pretty good health. Yes, Althea is on her 4th pacemaker, and Eva has lost most of her eyesight. Helen takes daily aspirin and Lipitor, but that's about it. And the science suggests this is common for centenarians. They've lived this long because they've either avoided or coped well with most age-related diseases. Here's what Dr. Thomas Pearls told me. He's with the New England Centenarian Study.
It's not the older you get, the sicker you get. It's the older you get, the healthier you've been.
So why is that? Certainly genetics plays a big role, but so does personality. And here's where the chicken and egg question comes in. Being friendly, staying active and engaged, not getting stressed, those are things scientists say help you live longer. But is there a kind of person who's more inclined to be like that? Remember Helen and her word puzzles? Her family has to tell her to put them away for food and sleep.
I hate to quit, and I hate to give up.
She mowed her own lawn into her 90s and never misses an episode of Jeopardy. Althea, when she retired, she took up painting for the first time. Her beautiful pieces are all over her house.
Well, that one there, we had a summer place up in Otis, and one night they had a beautiful sunset. And I painted it, and that's it. I always like to paint something that's going to remember me of something.
Arkie doesn't carry picket signs anymore, but she did start a fund to help other activists.
I want to be in the world, even though I can't really contribute that much anymore, but I want to be able to do whatever is in my power to do it.
Of course, at some point, our bodies are done. In centenarians, the decline tends to happen quickly. There were two other women I'd hoped to meet, but between the time I learned of them and the date of our interview, they'd gotten too sick or confused to talk. Eva remembers chatting on the phone recently to an old friend from the hosiery.
I said, how old are you now? She said, I'm 102. And she said, in fact, I'm one day older than you. But she passed away a couple weeks ago after talking to me.
So what can the rest of us expect? The closest I came to a crystal ball is an academic website called Living to 100. It's a bit of a parlor trick. You answer questions about your family history, eating and smoking habits, and it spits out your life expectancy. I took the test fairly honestly and got 92. Not bad. My 82-year-old dad took it and got 89. I didn't really think he'd make it to 100, but I'd hoped. I really tried to pry out of Eva, Arkie, and the others their secret to longevity. But if they know, they're not telling.
When they say, how do you do it? I was going to say it was the water on Cordesillai Street.
Not likely to help the rest of us. But at least Helen was willing to let me in on her approach to life.
Do the best you can, I guess. Never give up, I guess. What else can you say?
Many thanks to our musician John Townsend, and especially to Arky, Eva, Althea, and Helen. For New England Public Radio, I'm Karen Brown.